I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. My Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon you, Lord, for you are worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God, my salvation, be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. My Lord, you liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Well, Holy Spirit, we are thankful to be able to study the Word of God, and we need your help. We're thankful for the time of worship that we've had, and praise, and the songs that we have sung. We're joyous in your presence, Lord. It's always wonderful to spend time with God's people and to worship together and to praise together. And even if we're just by ourselves, one person in the presence of God is a majority. And so the opportunity to sing and praise your name is a great opportunity we don't take lightly. We thank you now, Lord, as we go to the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Everything we need to know about life and godliness is there. Thank you for providing that for us, Lord, and open our understanding, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. For the benefit of those who stay in touch with us by internet and listening to these sermons and teachings on the internet, we generally don't, we try to keep the recordings down to a minimum length so that they can be posted without breaking them into two parts. So we usually don't sing more than one song on there. Just wanted to clarify that. And today we're going to look at Mark chapter 12 in the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, and we're going to concentrate on just a few verses there, beginning at verse 30. Interesting timing, because this week is, on Tuesday of this week, is that day that's set aside for Valentine's Day. I'm not going to take the time right now to go through some of the possible historical background of Valentine's Day, St. Valentine, and Rome, and so forth and so on. Of course, it's another day of the year that has been commercialized, seriously commercialized, and of course, the idea of Valentine's Day selling lots of boxes of chocolate and, of course, lots of cards and hearts and all those things, that we can miss one of the good motivations for Valentine's Day is the issue of love and the concern that we have. And, of course, we know that in the English language we have one word for love. But in Greek, for example, is three types of love. there's the lower form of love, so to speak, which is mostly what most people concentrate on, which is eros or erotic love. That's what the majority is. And of course, we know that television and movies today and a lot of the publications, that's the type of love that they're emphasizing. And that's such a cheap shot, you might say, in terms of what the Lord has for us. And of course, the next level of love is what's called philia, philios, or where we get the word, for example, the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, which was named, of course, by William Penn. And of course, the idea there was a scriptural premise. And then the highest form of love is called agape. And that's the kind of love that this chapter of scripture and these verses we're going to look at today are talking about. So, Mark chapter 12, looking at verse 30 and 31. And I've chosen today to give you some comparative translations in my 26 translation Bible that takes the King James translation and compares it to 26 other versions and shows the ones that are most dissimilar. Not the ones most similar, but the ones most dissimilar. So read it first in the King James. Verse 30 of Mark 12. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I'm going to read it again from the King James. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now I'm going to take the opportunity to read the most dissimilar. Love the Lord your God from the New English Version. And you must. Revised Standard Version, with all your heart and with all your soul, and with your whole heart, your whole soul, from the Godspeed translation. Again in the RSV, and with all your mind, your strength, your whole mind, your whole strength. And verse 31, and the second is this. American Standard Version. A second, love your neighbor as yourself. You must love as you do yourself. There is no other commandment is greater than these. If we were to go into the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6, it certainly amplifies this commandment as we first find it there. And of course, one might ask the question, well, why is it the first commandment? And it certainly is comprehensive. We can say it's comprehensive when you look at it, that with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so that all, when we look at that all, which of course, if we do a word study on that, for example, in original manuscript language, all, that's very comprehensive. And for example, when we're praising the Lord, when we're singing hymns, or whether we're singing choruses and we're praising Him and we're worshiping Him, if we're all engaged with Him, if we put aside everything else and we're all engaged, totally engaged, what do you think is going to happen? See, rather than looking at that the Lord gave us these commandments because He's just a judgmental God and He wants to force Himself on us or whatever else, He has given us these commandments and saying there are none greater commandments than these. It's because something happens to a person when they're totally committed. So the all part of it, you know, all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And of course, repeating the all in each one of those segments. That's how important. And remember in Scripture, whenever you see something that's repeated, that's because it's important. So think about how many people that you know that are really all, you know, engaged in anything. Most people are very lukewarm, and we think about Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, that says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So the issue is, the Lord does not approve of lukewarmness. He's looking for all engaged. Is that because He's a megalomaniac tyrant? Of course not. It's because He knows that something transforms a person when they're fully engaged. When we have whatever circumstance, and if we were asking anyone, okay, are you involved here? I'm fully involved. I'm all involved. Yes, I'm all with it. That's going to move us when we hear that from another person. Because we know that if they truly are, if that is truly what they're going to do and what they're doing, we know that that gives them a greater strength and something much better is going to happen. What do coaches do with sporting teams? They're always trying to find the athlete that will be fully engaged, wholeheartedly engaged, and put everything they have into it. Because that person is going to accomplish more. And there are many people that are very talented, that have the capacity and the capability of doing better, but they're just not fully engaged. They're not willing to put their all in. You know? And so the Lord has put this as first commandment because everything else is engaged from here. That if you can put your total heart, your total soul, your total mind, and your total strength, and I'd suggest that all in those areas talks about full potency. Physical, moral, spiritual, and intellectual. It covers those four bases of heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, all physical, full potency, moral, spiritual, intellectual. And give that some thought, and I pray the Holy Spirit to expand that thought and give you the understanding of that thought. What would it be if today, this very day, this first day of the week. Or on Valentine's Day, on Tuesday, that we consider that a holy day, a holiday. And people concentrate on the first commandment that God has given. Full potency. All. Lord, I desire to give all. And when you think about it, everything belongs to the Lord anyway. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He's created us, we didn't create ourselves. So why would he even expect that we can do this? Why would he even expect we should do this? But he definitely wants us to do this because he knows how we will be changed. We always think of Jesus as an example. What did Jesus hold back from us? He gave all. He gave all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, and all of his strength when he went and died on the cross for us. He gave all. Every drop of sweat and blood, he gave all for us. What an example that is. And of course, the two thieves, the one on the right and the one on the left, where the one on the left said, you know, if you're really the Savior, why don't you get down off this cross and save us? And the one on the right said, you don't get it, do you? You're mocking the Lord of glory? And so the one on the right said, Lord, if you just remember me, you know. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because instead of the thief on the right thinking, like, I'm looking for a technicality to get out of this trouble I'm in, he accepted the all that Jesus was giving, and Jesus confirmed to him, because you're willing to give your all in terms of accepting me as who I am, and obey me who I am, even though you're dying here on the cross too as a thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And so, regardless of the way we've lived our lives, whatever that we've done, we know the Lord is full of forgiveness for us. But the issue of the total engagement, when we recognize who Jesus really is and what he gave us, and we're willing to obey, saying, I will obey, out of love I will obey, not out of duty. A lot of people talk about duty and responsibility, but out of love, we obey that first commandment, we fulfill that first commandment with the, by God's amazing grace and the help of the Holy Spirit, but our desire, full potency, to the uttermost degree of all that is within, to the uttermost degree. When the rich young ruler said to Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, sell all that you have and come follow me. And that obviously was not the answer that that man wanted. Jesus was saying, you've got to give all. The uttermost degree. And so when we think of loving each other, we're not capable of loving each other the way the Lord wants us to love each other. And of course, as he mentions, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The reverse of that, if you don't get the first commandment straight, of the full potency, total engagement to the uttermost degree, you don't get that straight, you're not going to be able to get the second one straight. Because first of all, you won't be able to love yourself the way you're supposed to love yourself. And of course, a lot of people say, well, if you love yourself, that means you're a narcissist or you're an egomaniac. No, the Lord said that you must love your neighbor as you love yourself, with the understanding you cannot love yourself or your neighbor the way that the Lord would want you to, except that you have learned the uttermost degree, all that is written with the full potency of all that physical, moral, spiritual, and intellectual. Now that seems overwhelming. And it would be if you're trying to do it by human strength. But knowing that the Lord provides the grace, and we look at a lot of the people of the Bible that the Lord reminds us of, and this week I posted something on Facebook that said the Lord did not take people from the pedestal and use them. He took people from the pit and used them. Joseph got used, for example, and he was in jail, and not for a crime he had actually committed. You know, where Gideon was hiding, and the Lord used him. And so the idea, it's not those people that are celebrated that the Lord uses, but those who recognize that the Lord's grace is sufficient for them. And of course, 2 Corinthians 12:9, where the Apostle Paul was saying, can't you take this thorn out of my side? And the Lord is saying, no, you don't understand it. If you're fully committed to me, then in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And that's the reason why this is the first commandment. And we say it's the first commandment, and a commandment with promise. Because being fully engaged changes us on any cause. That we're saying, if somebody is lukewarm, they don't really accomplish much. So being fully engaged is so important. And so then once we're fully engaged in loving the Lord as we should with all of our being, not just a little bit, and I've often said, to the degree of obedience that we have in the Lord is the degree of standing against the enemy that we can have. Because Scripture points out, you know, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. Well, if you're in full submission to the Lord, as expressed by this first commandment, that would also mean that you have greater strength, the greatest of strength, to resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. And of course, we've seen it actually in nature. The greatest portrayal of strength is usually going to scare off most predators. That's the way the enemy works too. He's looking for the weak. He's looking for the lukewarm. He's looking for those that don't have a full engagement with the Lord. You know, I remember one time being at a important function, and I saw people in worship who were text messaging. They were checking their cell phones. I felt like I wanted to go around and just say, give me that phone. And I thought, what a lukewarm engagement. We're here to worship the Lord fully and put our attention on Him. And it's not an easy thing to do because there's so many distractions. The enemy is good at distracting us. Because he knows the truth of this. He knows the truth of this better than many of God's people know the truth of this. that if somebody was fully engaged to the uttermost degree, and when we say to our spouse or to our children, I love you with all of my heart, most of the time we don't go on from there to say, and I love you with all my soul, and I love you with all of my mind, I love you with all my strength. We usually just stop saying, I love you with all my heart. But of course, we really wouldn't be able to do that unless we have obeyed the first and great commandment. And when I say obey it, fulfill it through the Lord's grace working in us, because that's our desire, to be fully engaged, the utmost degree. And we see the condition of our country right now, and the condition of the church right now. And some have said the church is very weak. Well, the church can't be any stronger than the people that are in it, so to speak, in the body of Christ, the ecclesia. And if the body of Christ is weak, it's because not fully engaged in the desire to fulfill this commandment. And of course, if we're not really loving our neighbor and loving ourselves the way we're supposed to, which is not something you learn just in nature. You learn that at God's throne of grace. He teaches us this. Lord, teach me your ways. I want to fulfill this, Lord. I want to be fully engaged. I want to the uttermost degree. I think about Joshua chapter 1, where four times it says, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. Why does the Lord have to remind us four times of that? Because it's obvious that that's not easy thing to do. And of course, to be of good courage means that standing in the throne room, so to speak, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before God's throne of grace in our time of need. That when we're standing in the presence of the Lord, fully engaged with Him, fully intent on Him, loving Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, is there room for anything else? Mm. And of course, from there, then we can say, now that I've been doing this, I'm receiving of the Lord a particular type of ministry in the innermost being. We talk about the blood of Jesus washing away all sin. But it's not like the blood of Jesus is washing away the external. It's the blood of Jesus washing away on the internal. And when you think of somebody building strength in any area, like building muscle, muscle is not put on from the outside. You do things on the outside, but muscle has to grow from the inside. The response, and it's the same way from a spiritual standpoint too. The more fully engaged and the more nutrition in the spirit, so to speak, that we're getting internally makes us strong externally. And that is the desire of the Lord. And once we have received those things, then we can love ourselves the way we're supposed to, without being an egomaniac, without being a narcissist, without being pompous, but a humble kind of love. And of course, being reminded of, in James, where it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. I like the song of it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He We'll lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. In what way would the Lord be lifting us up higher and higher in the presence of the Lord? We'd be coming much more fully engaged, much more to the utmost degree, much more able to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. The utmost degree, fully engaged, full potency, muscular Christianity, full potency. Why is this commandment the first? Because it's the greatest. It'd be like saying, okay, let's take some of the elements of the earth. Which elements are most important? Isn't it interesting how oxygen, O2, absolutely essential for us? Not to say that air that we breathe is only oxygen, it has other things in it. But isn't it interesting that how essential oxygen O2 is? And then you mix it with H2, and you have H2O, water. And water is absolutely essential too. And so that's what happens at God's throne of grace when we're fully intent, fully engaged in everything. And I should add to that, fully engaged in everything that's pleasing to God. For years across my computer screen as a screensaver, when we used to do screensavers, I had typed in there and it was flashing on my screen, Lord, show me your will and I will do that. Lord, show me what pleases you and I will do that. The way we would say to our wife or to our husband, show me what pleases you and I will do that. But how much more so to say, Lord, show me what pleases you. And people would say, well, how do I find out what pleases the Lord? Ask him. Ask him. The same as if you want to know what pleases your spouse or for in any relationship. Hey, boss, what pleases you? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. You really want to know? I'll tell you. And maybe some people would say, you know what? I don't really know. But guaranteed, if you ask the Lord what pleases him, he will tell you. You really want to know? Yes, Lord, I want to know. No, you really want to know? Yes, Lord, I really want to know. Okay, I'm going to tell you. Just remember, once I've told you, then you're going to either do it or you're not. And maybe some people are afraid to ask because they won't want to do it. They don't want to be fully engaged. They don't want to do everything that pleases the Lord. And that brings up another question. Because when you say, loving the Lord with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy strength, will anything else short of that please the Lord? Well, really no. Have we gotten to that yet? Have we gotten to the point where, because we've gotten to that place with the Lord now, we can love ourselves in the right way, and then we can love our neighbor as we love ourselves? Sometimes I wonder, why would the Lord include that? Why didn't he just say, love your neighbor. Why would he include love your neighbor as you love yourself? But it's all part of what the Lord knows how to build us on the inside. Once you've been built up so you treat yourself in the right way. You know, people talk about justice. They want to find justice. Is there any justice on the earth? Well, sometimes in some places. You know, when you think treat your neighbor, love your neighbor the way that you love yourself. That helps you to understand when you think, I know how I love myself, I know how I want to be treated, and so I would treat others in the way that I want to be treated. That's the formula for justice on the earth, if you're going to see it. But it all comes from being fully engaged to the uttermost degree. And don't say you can't do it. Because the Lord doesn't ask for what we can't do. Think about the verses in Philippians 4:13, for example. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the King James translation. You might wonder, why is it written that way? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, instead of who strengthens me. I mean, both would be accurate, but by saying which strengthens me, my recognition that I can do all things through Jesus Christ, not through my own strength, but through His strength, that's really what strengthens me. Because that's a proper priority. And we go on to Philippians 4:19. For my God shall supply all of your need through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now some people look at that and, oh, riches. They're concentrated on material wealth. That's not what the Lord is saying, and especially following from the previous verses. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. My God shall supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus. Well, the needs that we have are fulfilled through Christ internally in us as He moves on us, as we have that uttermost degree, full potency, fully engaged. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Yes, Lord, I know that there is none other commandment greater than these. This is what changes the world. And Lord, I'm glad to keep moving on in your walk. Holy Spirit, help me to fulfill these basic requirements. Not requirements. These great opportunities. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.